Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined us on today, and we welcome you here at Home Ministry. We're excited about the Lord and what God is going to do in your life. I come to tell you on today, our talk show is just have another incredible lesson on today about the goodness of God. And our lesson on today is going to entail God is omnipotent, and that God has all power in his hand. And I'm so excited. And so why don't you join with me while we just take a moment to acknowledge God, because this is such an incredible and a blessed lesson that I know without a shadow of a doubt you are going to be blessed. Gracious God, we acknowledge you and we thank you for this opportunity to come as a voice crying in the wilderness, making way of the way of the Lord. We come today and we just plead your blood and bind everything that's not like you and say, Lord, let your word have precourse today and preeminence on today. We come against every wicked thing that will want to stop the word of the Lord to go forward across the radio land on this day. And we thank you, dear God. In Jesus' name, we commend this session in your hands. And so on today, we're going to be talking about the all-powerful God on today. And we must recognize that the power of God has triumphed throughout history. There is victory even today through Christ. And even at his return, his victorious return will be complete one day. And so we're excited again, like I said. We're going to be looking at Revelation 19 through 6. And then we're going to look at 2 Chronicles verses 14, verses 9 through 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 55 through 58, and then we're going to go back to Revelation 19, verses 19 through 20. And so the word of the Lord reads on this line, Revelation 19 and 6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God is omnipotent and reign. 2 Chronicles verses 14, verses 9 through 15 reads on this line. And there came out against them Sariah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Marsha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Sephthah and Naphronah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, and before Judah, and before the Ethiopians fled, as Asa and the people that were with him pursued them in Gear, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away much spoil, and they smote all the city round about Gear. For the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the city, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep, camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians verses 15, chapter 15, verses 55 through 58. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that the Lord, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Can you shout hallelujah? Your labor, child of God, is not in vain in the Lord. Now let's take another look at another passage of scripture as we're laying the foundation on which we're going to be talking about God, who is omnipotent, omnipotent God. Revelation 19, verses number 19 and 20. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make a war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracle before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast, them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of the burning with fire and brimstone. So far, the reading of the scripture. And let's take a look here at our lesson and our talk on today. We're going to be talking about several passages of scripture, but we're going to be looking at God who has all power. We're going to be looking at also that nothing is too hard for God. Nothing can defeat God, and victory is through God. The scriptures say we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us, and God is strengthening you right now. Can you just shout hallelujah? So let's take a look at this here on today. Let's look at the word omnipotent and thing. It is derived from the Greek word panatoka, which means all ruling God as absolute, universal, sovereign, almighty, omnipotent. There can be only one almighty, all-powerful God, and God is omnipotent one. He is that omnipotent one. God first identified himself as the almighty to Abraham in the Old Testament. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Genesis 17 and 1. Numerous other times throughout the scripture, God referred to himself as almighty. We can see that over in Genesis chapter 35 and verse 11. Then finally, in the last book of the Bible, Jesus appeared to John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos and identified himself as the almighty. And you can find that over in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Jesus was not grasping a place for authority and power which did not belong to him. There was nothing for him to steal in assuming as a role, for he was God, robed in flesh. And we can find that over in Philippians chapter number 2, verses number 5 through 11. In the Great Commission, Jesus told his disciple, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and 18 will let us know that. Jesus Christ surely gave a true and certain testimony in the scripture, for in him dwelled all of the omnipotence of God. Indeed, all of the fullness of the Godhead was in Christ Jesus. We'll find that over in Colossians 2 and 9. Jesus Christ as God manifested in the flesh have all power. Can you just shout hallelujah? The example abound of God's power operated in the life of Christian over the years. God's power has been seen in healing. His power has been seen in deliverance, in financial miracles, and also in divine protection. The life of a child of God is not dependent on the lady of luck or controlled by the father of time. Rather, It is the Almighty who is the source of every need in the life of the believer. We put our trust and confidence in the Almighty. And you can find that over Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 19. It said, when our enemy appears, the one who overcame every foe through the blood he shed on the cross is there to do battle against the enemies of our soul. He vanishes that which is, would otherwise destroy us. His power is available to us through the prayer of faith. James let us know that over in chapter 5, verses number 14 through 15. Sickness and disease are subject to the one who healed the sick and raised the dead and set the captives free. Can you shout hallelujah? Glory be unto God. Today we will examine the biblical records or records of the Almighty's effort in the life of the people throughout the Bible and how he influences our life even today. We will also find him to be intimately involved in every victory we win. Every victory that we have walked in our lives have been intimately engaged by the Almighty God working on our behalf. I can hear the scripture say over in Zechariah when he's talking about Zerubbabel, he was telling them, not by my might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And it's by his spirit are we going to walk the victory. There is not a battle that we face that is ultimately won when we enlist in the help of the Lord God Almighty. We will win every battle, ultimately win every battle through the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ himself. Let's look at one point today. God has all power. The scripture reads, over in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 8 and verse number 18 reads, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord God, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Come on and just shout hallelujah. God is the one that has your future in his hand. Can you shout hallelujah? And we must rest in that and stand on the fact that God is the one that's going to have the final say over your life. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. You must rest. Keep that in your spirit. The Bible said we wrestle not with flesh and blood and things, but principalities and rulers and high and wickedness in high places. But guess what? Jesus Christ shed enough blood to overcome any attack against you, child of God. Let's look here. Jesus is God incarnate. Isaiah 7 and 14 let us know that. Also Isaiah 9 and 6. Matthew 1 and 23. And as God is almighty, so Jesus is almighty with all power, both in heaven and in earth. Again, take a look at Matthew 28 and 18. God can do anything. Job declared that God can do anything and knows every thought. And you will find that over in the book of Job 42 and 2. Isaiah attributed everlasting strength to the Lord. Isaiah 26 and 4, Jesus said that there are things men cannot do, but he went on to say that with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19 and 26, come on, and let's line our life up with God, because God said with God, all things are possible. Let's look. Even the angels declare, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You'll find that over in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. One of the final utterances in the book of Revelation states, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. We find that over in Revelation 19 and 6. That was our focus scripture that we talked about at the beginning of our show today, and being the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. And we must recognize that God reigns over your life. God reigns in the universe. God reigns over your finance. God reigns over your children. And we must put God back in the proper place in our life and allow him to reign over our life, over our heart, over our mind, over our emotions, over our spirit, over our finances, over our home, over our future. We must put God back in his proper place in our life as individual and as collectively, and watch God come through on your behalf, child of God. Yes, I'm talking to you. God is going to come through on your behalf, and you're not going under. But the God in which you serve is going to stretch forth his hand. As you open your mouth and call on the name of the Lord, God is going to come unto you, child of God. Yes, I'm talking to you right now, speaking a prophetic word into your spirit that God is going to come through. All you need to do is start releasing the hand of God to work on your behalf and just say, God, I release you to move on my behalf, and watch God perform it on your behalf. I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you directly that God is going to do it. It said, whether we look to the Old Testament or to the New, to the testimony of the suffering Job, or to the prophet Isaiah, or to even Jesus Christ, or even to the angel that visited Mary, the message is always the same. And that message is that God can do anything, anytime, any place, anywhere he wants to, because he is almighty. Come on and just shout hallelujah. You know, we can stop right there and just go to shouting and giving God the praise, glory, and right now. I heard somebody say, hold my mule. I feel a shout coming on. Huh? Come on and shout hallelujah. Gloria, shandoro, bosheka. Watch God move on your behalf, and all will know it has been the hand of God. Now, let's look here at another piece here. We must recognize that the very idea of the word almighty invokes the thought of deity and sovereignty of God. It seemed only natural to think of God as the almighty, for the concept of almighty and sovereign are particularly inseparable. They go hand in hand. A God who has not almighty would not be much of a God, but the one true God is the almighty. He alone is the sovereign of the universe without peer, competitors, or even an equal. There is none like him, for he alone is God. While it seemed only natural to think of God as incomparable, almighty, and sovereign, for some it may be difficult to think of Jesus Christ in the same terms. Yet Jesus Christ exhibits all the fullness, hear me, child of God, all the fullness of the power and the might of God. Can you shout hallelujah? Grab that revelation. He exhibited all. The fullness of the power and the might of God. Now let's look at this. Jesus Christ, God's power exhibit. Matthew 28 and 18 states, Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There it is. There's the scripture reference. There is nothing Jesus could not do. He healed the nobleman's son at the Cana of Galilee without even seeing the boy himself. You'll find that over in John 4, 46 and 54. He delivered a demonic at Capernaum over in Mark 1, verse 21 through 28, Luke 4, 31 through 37. Jesus recovered the sight of the blind. He made the lame to walk. He cleansed the leper. He restored the hearing to that of the one that was deaf, and he restored life to that one that was dead. Matthew 11, verse 2 through 5, Luke 7, verses 12 through 22nd, and you'll see how God, he moved, Jesus moved. Even when the sea was raging and his disciples were afraid, Jesus spoke peace to the crashing waves and the troubled heart. He said, peace be still. And I speak to your heart today, Radio Land. Whoever is listening right now, I speak peace be still from the waves of the seas of life that's coming up against you even this day. I speak peace in the name of Jesus to be still in your life. The one who have all power was in control of the winds and the waves. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I feel a miracle happening right now in the spiritual realm on your behalf, child of God. You are going to be blessed beyond measure, and all will know that you have been at home and heard the word of the Lord to come and to empower you to believe God in spite of what you see, in spite of what you hear, and in spite of the report. God is in control. Let's look at the next point, the Holy Ghost. God's power in operation. God operates in our lives and throughout the entire world through his omnipresent spirit. Wherever miracles are performed, it is the Lord himself who performed the miracle through the power of his spirit. And we'll find that over in Zechariah chapter number 4, verse number 6. The scripture that I quoted earlier. Whether we are considering a transformed life or a changed world, it is changed only after the Spirit of God has moved on its behalf. The writer of the book of the beginning record, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, Genesis 1 and 2. His power changes everything it touches. There is a remarkable evidence of change in a person's life when they receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Old things are changed. All things become new. The Spirit makes changes that are evident throughout a lifetime of faithful service. When the Spirit sweeps into the heart of the drunkard, he is transformed into a child of God. When a person bound by the chains of drugs become a preacher or a former warlock become a Sunday school teacher, it is through the power of God, which is witnessing the action of God's power transforming an individual life. And God can do all things. I don't care how hopeless it may look. God is able to do all things but fail. He got all power in his hand. Release God, child of God, in your life today. Let's look at this. Our next point. Nothing is too hard for God. Some people scoff when they hear of the miracles today or from the pages of the scripture. Their rejection of God's power is based on one thought, that is impossible. Although the word impossible is God's vocabulary, it never describes a situation following his encounter. Impossible applies to situations before God came on the scene. It may be impossible before God showed up. But after God has come on the scene, nothing is impossible. And so sometimes we need to say, God, show up, God. Come on the scene in this situation, God. God, have your way in this situation and move back and allow the miraculous power of God to move on your behalf. At his touch, the impossible becomes the miraculous. At his touch, the impossible, child of God, I'm talking to you now. give ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, because I'm speaking directly to you that when he shows up and God lays his hand or his touch, the impossible becomes the miraculous. Ah, he's going to do something miraculous, child of God. Watch God. To people who relegate only the important problems in their life to God, thinking wrongfully that the mundane, everyday situation is unimportant to him, that is not so. God is concerned with our everyday problems as well as our everyday problem, no matter how critical that they may be, how smart they may be. He said, come, cast your cares upon me because I careth for you. He said, when does the impossible become possible? Again, I ask you, when does the impossible become possible? It is when God steps on the scene. That is when the impossible become possible, when God steps on the scene. That's why I'm saying, child of God, being the voice that's crying in the wilderness today, release God. Allow God to come in and step in on the scene. Sometimes we must move out of the way so that God can have his way in that situation. Amen. Let's look here at another couple of points here. How that the arm did swim. Let's take a look at one of these miracles that we find in the Bible. It said the sons of the prophets wanted to build a new place to stay and asked Elijah to go with them to build it. He did agree. So they went by Jordan River and began to cut down timber. While they was working, one of the men cried out in anguish to Elijah that his axe head had fallen into the water. He was concerned because he had borrowed it. And you'll see this over in 2 Kings 6, verses 4 through 7. The law demanded that a borrowed item that was destroyed or lost was to be replaced by the borrower. And you'll find that over in Exodus 22 and verse number 14. Well, this was happened. The man of God asked where was the iron had fallen. And when the man pointed out to the spot, Elijah cut a stick, threw it into the water, and the axe head swam. The man reached in and retrieved the borrowed tool as the man of God looked on. God performed a notable miracle in what was far from life and death situation, but God cared. What is it so important on earth shattering about an axe? Why would God even care? But that is the point. It is really not so important in most people's eyes, but it was important to the man who had lost it. God did not care about the axe head, but he cared about the man who was disturbed at its loss. Look here, child of God. God demonstrated his power and love by the miracle of the swimming axe head. And because he cared about the individual who asked God and looked to God for the miracle. And so God, everybody, what you may be going through may be minute to everybody else, but I want you to know that God cares about you. And it's important. What's important to you is important to God. And so we must go back to God and say, God, you know, this is my situation, and it's important to me, and it means a lot, and I feel so disturbed by that. And guess what? God will move on our behalf because we went to God. We put our trust and confidence in God. Now, other people will probably thought, you know, why did you need this axe head? Well, it was according to the law, and he wanted, it was a borrowed axe. And he wanted to make sure that he got it back and adhere to the law. And it meant a lot to him because we know in the Old Testament that there were 613 commandments that they had to obey. And if they offended one, they offended it all. And so that mattered to that man. And so God honored him and blessed him and performed the miracle for him. And so God is going to honor you, child of God. As we get ready, when we close this here session, we're going to pray the prayer of faith and touch and agree with you for your miracle this day. I believe God. Now let's take another look at another miracle, how that the sun stood still. The Israelites was at the heat of the pitch of the battle, and God was fighting for the people. However, Joshua had another idea of how God could fight for Israel. They needed more daylight, so he called upon God to hold the sun still in his path. And you'll find Joshua chapter number 10, verse number 12 to 14. It is amazing, but God responded to the word of faith from a man and stayed the course of the sun for the whole day. By performing this miracle, God made the impossible very possible for Joshua. He caused the sun to stand still so that they can win the battle. God wants to do some great things in the life of his people even today. Now, let's take another look at another miracle with the miracle of Jesus. The first miracle of Jesus is another example of a miracle that did not have to be done. It didn't have to be done. A nobleman's son was not on his deathbed. A best friend was not in a tomb. A leper was not facing a lifetime of separation from the family or friends. There was no one blind or deaf or lame calling on him. He turned water into wine. Let's take a look at that. The feast was going along well when they ran out of wine. Jesus' mother told him they had ran out of wine, and he explained to her that his hour, evidently for performing the miracles, had not yet come. But she ignored his statement and told the servant to do whatever Jesus told them to do. Jesus proceeded to tell them to fill up the water pot with water, which they did. Just when the water in the pot became wine, it's not clear. But when the ruler of the feast has tasted the water that was turned into wine, he wondered where it came from. He pronounced it to be the best wine of the evening. Every man at the beginning do set forth good wine. And when men have well drunken, then which is worse? But though thou hast kept the good wine unto now. Jesus did his first miracle so that a wedding celebration could continue joyfully to its natural conclusion. And he performed that miracle. Now let's look at another one, child of God, of the raising of the dead and things. There is always the possibility of a turn for the better when a person is deadly sick. It is not difficult to accept that a miracle has occurred when the person's condition improves. But when the person is dead and his tomb, he had been in the tomb several days already beginning to decompose, mankind viewed it as an impossible problem. He thinks that there is no hope. It may be an impossible situation to mankind, but is not impossible to Jesus. Such was the case with Lazarus. Jesus has few social acquaintance on earth, but among those were the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It was a warm friendship he enjoyed with his brothers and sisters. Lazarus' sister knew things were not well with they sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick. But they knew Jesus could heal them. Jesus knew that Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, but so that God could be glorified. Don't you know God want to be glorified? Even in your circumstances and situation, it may seem dead. People may have written you off, written the situation off, written your marriage off, written your ministry off, written your call off, written your work that you're doing for God off. But guess what? God is going to be glorified. He got the last say in your child of God. And that's where you can rejoice that it's not over, because guess what? It's beginning in your life, child of God. Let's look here. His love for these three friends was great, but he delayed his return until after Lazarus was dead. His action was misinterpreted because he did not rush to Bethany at the news of Lazarus' illness. And so even if Jesus is not, you're not seeing things happening right now, and God's not rushing to perform that thing right now, recognize, child of God, a delay, it does not mean denied. A delay does not mean that you are being denied, child of God, of God's will to be done in your life. When Jesus and his disciple arrived at the home of Mary and Martha, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days already. Martha came out to meet Jesus, telling him that if he had come sooner, her brother would not have been dead. But Jesus assured her Lazarus would rise again. And I come to tell you, your ministry is going to rise again. Your marriage is going to rise again. Your financial situation is going to rise. Even your credit score is going to rise again. That house is going to rise again. God is going to do it. Your dream, child of God, is going to rise again. I stand as the prophet and the prophetic word of God on this day to speak into your spirit and to release the hand of God to move in your situation this day. It shall be so. I speak to the universe. I speak to every area that this day that the angels of the Lord will hasten to bring it to pass on your behalf. I hear the Spirit of the Lord. I hear the Bible said, hear the prophet today and prosper in your life, child of God. Your education, your degree is going to come forth. Your future is coming forth. Your children is blessed. Everything you turn, put your hand on is going to turn to gold. Your marriage is going to be filled with joy, love, peace, and harmony, and happiness. I speak it prophetically over your life, child of God. If you just raise your hand right now, I just feel the prophetic utterance just flowing through the airway. The resources that you need to build God's house is coming. The building that you need is coming. Oh, receive that, child of God. The health back in body, your cells, your ligaments, your tendons in your body is being resurrected even now, child of God. Receive it, honey. Receive it. Favor is coming to your house right now. The word of the Lord is you right now. He sent his word and healed them. Heal them of all diseases, financial diseases, emotional diseases, psychological diseases. He's healing right now because healing is in his wing. What the enemy meant for evil, child of God, God's turning it around for your good. In 7 days, you're going to stand and testify about the goodness of the Lord that come to your house. It bored out of home so on this day because the spirit of utterance of the prophetic word is falling from these lips today. Child of God, get up and go back and try again and watch God bring it to pass on your behalf. You will teach again. Yes, you will. You will preach again. Yes, you will. You will sing again. That CD is coming forth out of your bosom, child of God. All that hell you've gone through, it's not for naught. You're going to birth a song that's going to bless and release God's people through the Samar and through the prophetic word, through song. God is raising you up. Even the musicians are coming back home. They're coming to their senses and recognize the Levitical priest anointing upon their life, and they no longer is going to ask the price to be able to come and play in the house of God, but they're going to come and lay their gifts and their talents down in the house of God that there may be meat in the house of God. I declare it to go out. Angels of the Lord, take it and bring it to pass, and we thank you, La. Come on, touch and agree with me, child of God. It is so, and it shall be just like we have spoken it on today. Now, let's go back to the lesson. I just felt that prophetic utterance. Speaking forth. Martha, she concurred with Jesus that he will raise, and thinking Jesus spoke of the final resurrection, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. John 11:25. It was at this scene with Mary and Martha, the scripture recorded that Jesus wept. It was interesting to note that the reason for Jesus' tears Though others at the scene took his tears to be reflected love for Lazarus, it was obvious that he was not weeping for his friend. He knew Lazarus would be raised to life again. Evidently, his tears were because of the unbelief of the people. John 11:40-42. And so, Father God, even as that prophetic word had just went across, don't let the tears fall from the eyes of our Lord because you did not believe. But I want you to believe God and act on it. That book that's out of your belly is going to flow, child of God. I want you to believe it. The publisher is going to come. The door is going to open. God's going to put the money in your hand, and he's going to do it. And when you sit at the book signing table, God's going to bring this day back to your mind that the prophet, she spoke a word, a release for that book to go forward. And you mark this day, child of God, when you sit there to signing and signing, God's going to bring your mind back and say, Pastor Helen Orme spoke the release in your life on that day as it come to pass. Jesus arrived on the scene of Lazarus' tomb and ordered the stones to be moved away and prayed and commanded Lazarus to come forth. And Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And whatever the tomb is, whatever the stone that is in your way, I command the stone to be rolled away. And I call every blessing to come forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this day. I call the book forth. I call the miracle forth. I call the ministry forth. I call courage and boldness forth. I call, Lord, even, Lord, the engagements to go forth, the platforms to go forth, that they may stand and declare your word. I declare it to go forth in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth by the power that is invested in me. I command it to be so. And so today, the scripture said, John 11:44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And I say today, loose that and let it go. Whatever hindering it to go forth and come totally to fruition, I command it to loose and let go in the name of Jesus. Nothing can defeat God. We must recognize that. Nothing can. Often we face situations we cannot handle and say, all we can do is pray. And of course, that is what we should have been doing all the while we thought we could handle it. That is how we should start out our approach to difficulty and not just end there. We should, because Jesus is the source of our victory. God is the source of our victory. Now let's take a look real expeditiously at victories over the enemy, victory over Satan, victory through God, and victory by the resurrection. And we're going to move expeditiously through. With a righteous king at the helm, Judah had headed into the right direction. God was with Asa, 1 Kings 15:11. He was not just a good in his heart, but he was good in his acts too, in his actions. Moreover, he was mentally wise, militarily, and fortified cities throughout Judah. And you'll find that over in 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verses number 1 through verse number 7. As the commander of the army of over more than half a million mighty men of valor, Asa was positioned to lead Judah victoriously to the peace and prosperity. That was the ideal of their enemies, however. While the army commanded by Asa was great, the army of the Ethiopian was nearly twice as numerous. To speak of the enemy's army as having 1,000,000, and we read that earlier, Chronicles 14:9. The New King James Version reveals the size of the army were 1,000,000 men. Then Zaphra, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. And he came against them. And as Asa, the Cushanite army was at Sepha, a Canaanite city, in the lowlands of Judah, crossing the paths of Hebron, Asa realized his need for divine intervention when the army had taken up battle position. And so, child of God, when you need a divine intervention of God, turn back to God. God will do it. Now, let's look here at 2 Chronicles 14:11. The Bible said, Asa cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God. We rest on thee, and in thy name do we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. Now, look how Asa did this. Now, let's look how he employed this prayer. He said, we need your help, God, and we rest upon you. And he said that there's no power greater than yours. And he said, O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man, now look in here, this is it, prevail against you, God. He didn't say against me, against our army, but he said, don't let no man prevail against you, God. And so what we have to do when you're in the heat of the battle, you can't say, Lord, don't let them prevail against me. You got to say, no, God, don't let them prevail against you, God. It is you, God, that they're coming against and fighting against. And so Asa's prayer acknowledged the utterance powerlessness in the face of the enemy, implying total reliance on the all-powerful God. God answered by smiting these Cushanites, the Ethiopian, until they fled before Asa and Judah. So he declared his powerlessness, Asa did, before God. And so sometimes we need to declare that we are powerlessness unless God come in and intervene on our lives and on our behalf. Asa and the people pursued their enemy in Gera, located in the southwest Palestine, the Cushanites, were so completely defeated that they could never recover. And the scripture, 2 Chronicles 14:13, says, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. They carried away very much spoil. Now let's look here. The mighty men of Judah attacked the surrounding city about the them. The people in those cities had a healthy fear of the Lord after what had happened to those comrades, leaving large scates of spoil for God's people. They attacked the enclosure for the cattle and their keepers, carrying off sheep, camels in large number. When they returned to Jerusalem, they came victoriously, not because of their numbers, but because of their God. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to return you back to that place victorious, that all would know that it was God that walked this thing for you. Now, let's look here. Ultimately, too many believers make the devil bigger than he really is. They view him as equal or but opposite of Jesus Christ, but he's not. Jesus is the all-powerful God. But Satan is only an angel, child of God, a fallen one at that. God is present in all places at all times. Satan can only be in one place at one time, limited to the habitation God allowed him to occupy. God has all knowledge. Satan only knows what God allowed him to know. There are not even one on the same scale. More accurate comparison would be between Satan, a fallen angel, and either Michael or Gabriel, faithful angels who have been true to God. But when it comes to Satan's final destruction, there will be an unnamed angel who will hold the hordes of hell, angel of hell captive in their bottomless pit. And you'll see that over Revelation 19. Verses 19 through 21. Come on, child of God. God is doing it for us. Let's look here. Victory through God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 through 58 said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us, oh God, the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren and sister, whoever is listening right now, be steadfast, child of God, unmovable, child of God, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor, child of God, is not vain in the Lord. Can you shout hallelujah? One minister asked what the worst possible thing a person in the world could face, and the answer came back would be death. That may be true for a sinner, but the worst thing for a sinner is the very thing that the Christian lived for, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And that's 2 Corinthians 5:8. Now let's look here. We're going to look at a couple of things, and we're going to come to the closure. Victory by the resurrection and victory through the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to conclude. I don't know about you, but I've been blessed and my soul satisfied from the word of the Lord on today. The victory of the gospel is not Christ's death only on the cross. The event only prepared the way for the greatest victory. The greatest victory was in the resurrection when Jesus came out of the grave, a whole new chapter of victory begun. Consider what really happened at Pentecost when Apostle Peter preached in Acts 2. Peter spoke only briefly about the spirit-filled believer not being drunk with wine, verse 15. He then identified clearly from the scripture that they have received the Spirit as prophesied in the Old Testament. You'll see that in verse number 16 through 21 in the second book of Acts. But the core of his message is contained in Acts 2:22-36, and it was centered around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Only one verse of scripture mentioned Christ's 3.5 years of public ministry. One verse speaks of his death on the cross, but 13 verses detail the resurrection and all of its implications. When Peter concluded, there was an immediate response for the people. Why were the people so upset that there was pricked in their heart? What caused their conviction? Was it the talk of Christ's miracle or perhaps his death? The Old Testament story of Joseph and his brother illustrated this very point very well over in Genesis 37, verse 39 through 45. The brother of Joseph hated him. They were going to kill him, but instead sold him into slavery. He was as good as dead as far as they were concerned. When they discovered that he was one in charge of the provision of Egypt, they was troubled at his presence. Genesis 45:3. They had not been troubled when they thought he was as good as dead. It was when they realized that he was not only dead, but in a powerful position that they became so upset. It was when they realized that Joseph had power over them that they trembled, for they was guilty and deserved whatever judgment that would have been given unto them. Such as was the case with the situation for Jesus when he was crucified, the Lord. The message of Peter placed Jesus in a place of judgment and power over those that have crucified him, and they stood guilty. The victory won by the resurrection cannot be misunderstated. There would be no power in the blood were it not for the resurrection. There would be no remission of sin in the water baptism in Jesus' name without the resurrection. The resurrection gives us complete victory. Complete victory. Amen. Now let's look here in my closing about victory through the Holy Spirit. There was a pastor who had a number of new converts who were struggling in their effort to overcome the physical and psychological addiction of cigarettes. He started a class designed to help them to gain the victory. After just a few couple of sessions, the focus on the power of the Holy Ghost in the life of the believer, on not making provision for the flesh, there was a great victory. Several who came through the classes over 10 years ago are still victorious Christians today. One couple, however, rejected the counsel offered in the class session. They interpreted the teacher from Romans 13 and 14 to claim that they had put a carton of cigarettes on their kitchen table and were strong enough not to smoke them. They saw no benefit in getting rid of ashtrays and flashes of cigarettes and other smoking supplies. The pastor repeatedly tried to present the scriptural admonition of Romans 13 and 14 to them, but to no avail. They rejected and soon were hopeless, addicted again and away from God. We must recognize when God makes the provision, we must make no provision for this flesh and things. We must adhere to that which God has given. There is a way of escape because it's through that Holy Ghost power God will give us victory over all things. It is not by might or power of man that we gain spiritual victory in Christ. Now listen, child of God, grab this. It is only by God's Spirit that we may know the victory in Zechariah 4 and 6. And that's why those that couple that did not adhere to and allow the Spirit of God to give them the victory, they was utterly defeated. So we as children of God, we must give heed to the Spirit of the Lord. It is through the Spirit of God that we are victorious in our battles against the evil and of this world, the devil, the world, and the flesh. Galatians 5, 16, and 25. You may have overcome different things in the world, but sometimes it's the fleshly things that try to overthrow the child of God. And you can do it through the Spirit of God. Amen. Let's look here in closing. God is the only one who has all power. He controls all matter and fills all space. He controls the wind and the waves. He heals and he gives life. In the Bible, he knows as the Lord God Almighty and revealed in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ revealed all the fullness of the Godhead, all power in heaven and earth. He ministered to the multitude of individuals. He performed miracles both to the sick and unto the deaf, and for the wedding host who had run out of wine. He brought the dead back to life again. There is nothing too hard for God. When God faces people's enemies, he is victorious. When God walked victory, it was clear the people would not have won without him. In the final book of the Bible, Satan is finally and eternally vanished. The victory is sure and complete. The power of the blood, the cross, and the name of Jesus Christ is complete only through the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ assures every child of God of the power of God available to operate in their life. Repent of sin and repentance of sin represents Jesus Christ's death on the cross. We must die to the will of the flesh. And water baptism in the name of Jesus allow us to be buried with Jesus Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the power of Christ's resurrection. Jesus operates in the lives of the believers through the power of his resurrection, through the operation of his Spirit in our life, child of God. I feel the resurrection power of Christ right now. I want you to know, child of God, if you don't have it, God got it. And you just one question away from your miracle, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you, child of God. God is omnipotent and he's able, the same God that performed the miracle with the axe head and allowed the sun to stand still and raise the dead back to life. He still yet have that same resurrected power. Is still alive and today and available unto you. Child of God, turn back to God. Look to God. He is the answer. He will come through. He will make a way out of no way. You trust them today. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. And the King of glory, he shall come in. Who is the King of glory? He is our King. He's strong and he's mighty. He is the King of glory. Ah, he will come. He shall come. And he will not tarry, child of God. Trust the Lord. And watch him perform it on your behalf. I pray that every need, Lord God, that you'll meet every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And not let a need go lack, oh God. But, Lord, you are able to perform it, oh God. And, Father, we thank you even this day for this session on today. And everyone that listens up under the sound of my voice, oh God, I pray, oh God. Oh, God, a resurrection blessing today, that you resurrect everything that the enemy tried to destroy and kill. And, oh, God, because you are the resurrector and you are our life and our trust and hope, it lies in your power, oh, God. Show your hand. Move by your power divine, oh, God, and we'll praise your blessed name. Let your holy will be done, oh, God, and we'll give you the glory, Lord. Meet the needs of your people, dear God. Show yourself strong among us, oh God. Show your mighty hand, oh Lord, our Lord. How excellent is thy name in all the earth. And we thank you as we worship your name. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are the beginning and the end, the first and the last, oh God. You are the chief cornerstone, oh God. You are the bishop and the lover of our soul, God. And we worship you even on this day, oh God. You are the right now, God, oh God. You're the lily in the valley, the bright and morning star, oh God. You got all power in your hand, and you can do all things but fail. And we worship your name. Stretch forth your hand today. Move by your power divine. And, oh, God, Lord, we'll praise your blessed name, Lord, and give you the glory because you are who you say you are. And you are the great I am, the almighty God. And we worship you here, oh Israel. The Lord our God is one. And we worship your holy name on this day, dear God. And we give you praise. And we give you honor. Yalorobosha. Thank you, dear God. Thank you. La Roboshi. Katarabosha. He tatarabosha. Kananda yanda. Hey, Shaka. Orabo. We praise your blessed name, dear God. We praise you for each and every listening ear today. Show yourself strong in their lives. As they, Lord, return back home, even at our next session, I pray a great blessing for their lives. And I prophetically speak a blessing in their home, in their finances, in their health, in their relationships, in their bodies, on their jobs, in the marketplaces. They're blessed when they come, God, and they're blessed when they go, because they're hearkening unto the voice of the Lord our God and keeping your commandments and your word as they walk softly before thy everlasting presence. And Father, we thank you, dear God, for the manifestation of your miraculous move throughout this land. Send a revival throughout this earth, oh God, and we'll praise your blessed name for our children and our children's children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Child of God, it has been a tremendous blessing to have spent this sacred time with you. And I thank God for the opportunity to you allowing this voice in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord for your blessing on today. Just know that Pastor Helen Orme is praying for you. Thank you again for allowing me to come and spend time with you on this day. Please know I am available if you need a speaker or someone to come to your conference and speak. Thus said the Lord. The Lord has blessed me to have the prophetic ram and utterance for the Lord our God in this season and time. Also, the Lord has gifted me with this gift of deliverance and healing, miracles, as well as women in ministry, leadership. These are the things that God has gifted Pastor Helen on to do. And if you need me to come to bless your ministry or your session, your women's program, your leadership training, I will be more than glad to come. We are the founders of the Destiny Learning Center, where we train men and women to go forth in their God-given talents and gifts to do the work and the will of the Lord. And so feel free to email me at Helen Orm, and that's HELENORME, at MFN.com. Or you can write me a letter, send it to 326 Union Avenue Northeast, number 2, Renton, Washington, 98059. I'll say that again. That's Pastor Helen Orm at 326 Union Avenue, Northeast, number 2, Renton, R-E-N-T-O-N, Washington, 98059. You're welcome to go to my website and take a look there. It's www.shekinah, S-H-E-K-I-N-A-H, glorytabernacle.com. Feel free to send me a letter, and we will contact you. I know that this is the season for God to bless his people and raise up ministry to go forth. I love doing prayer meetings, shut-ins. These are the gifts that God has gifted me with to share with his body. And so feel free to contact me. We'll be more than glad to come and be a blessing unto you and your ministry. May God richly bless you is my prayer. Be encouraged. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare come down. Get back to that wall and go back. Get down on your knees and say, God, I need you to intervene and help me. And watch God thrust you forward, child of God, in your ministry. That church will live. I don't care if you have been cut down to 10. God will let you know that's the tithe off of 100. And you must know, child of God, God said just 2 or 3 is the majority in God. And recognize that God can take your 10 and multiply it to 1,000. Because God said in his word, 1 will chase 1,000 and 2 will put 10,000 to flight. And God can take those 10 members and multiply it if you can just believe them to do it. Not what man is saying, not what people are comparing you with, but what God has said and already showed you. You hold fast to that vision, and don't you dare give it up. And call, go back to God and say, I believe God, that God still sat on the throne, and he will bring it to pass. And so I pray that you're encouraged, and your heart is encouraged to do the work and the will of the Lord. Remember Pastor Orm in your prayers, as we forever be the voice crying in the wilderness, empowering the people of God through the word of God that they may live victoriously as they contextualize and theologically apply this word to their life and watch God do it in your life. Child of God, be not dismayed. God is not mocked. Keep on sowing good. because you're going to reap a harvest coming to you in Jesus' name. May God bless you. I want you to know I love you. Until we meet again, I welcome you. Please come back home at our next session. God bless you. Bye-bye.